A number of years ago, I was driving my car and I saw a package on the road. I got real excited because I saw a free package, stopped the car, backed it up, jumped out, couldn't find the thing. So I began to look under the car to see if it was under the car. As I did so, I saw a piece of string running from a ditch into a second-story window and realized I'd be fooled by the same trick that I used as a kid to fool motorists. What you do is put a package on the road, put string to it, hide in the bushes, and when a motorist stops, you pull the package in and watch him make an idiot of himself looking for it. If you get something in your mailbox that's free, like a little free sachet of coffee or perhaps toothpaste, it really isn't free. There are strings attached to it. Anything you get from this world often has strings attached. When you get something for nothing, they want to attach strings to your wallet. And now if you look at the Bible in the book of Romans, it says the gift of God is eternal life. But it adds the word free before the word gift, which makes it seem superfluous, because if something is free, it's a gift, and if it's a gift, it's free. And the reason that word free and gift are together, or those words are together, is to substantiate something very, very important. And that is, there is no way you can earn everlasting life from God. It must be a free gift. And yet if I walk down this line, I guarantee most of you would think that you're going to earn everlasting life. Because I'd say something like this to you. Would you consider yourself to be a good person? You say, yeah. Do you think you'll make it to heaven? Why? Well, because I'm basically a good person. And the reason you say that is because you don't see your true state before God. The Bible actually tells us we're not ordinary people as we stand before God. We are criminals in debt to His law. And that's why our goodness won't get us out of the state that we're in. Let me put it this way. Think of a man who has committed rape and murder. He's standing in front of the judge. He says, "Judge, I know I'm guilty, but the lady was a whore. I mean, she deserved it, so I'm sure you'll just let me go." His statement makes it obvious that he hasn't seen the serious nature of his crime, so what the judge must do is read the law to him and show him the seriousness of his crime by the judgment the law is going to give to him. He'll say, "You've violated the law, you've murdered a human being, you're going to the electric chair." That might bring a seriousness as to what he's done to the criminal's heart. So what I'm going to do today is read the law to you and then show you the judgment that's coming by the law, so you'll see the seriousness of your crime against God, so that you'll see that you cannot earn His favor. So let's look at God's law just for a few moments. The first commandment is, "You shall have no other gods before me." That means God, the one who gave you life, commands that He be the focal point of your affections. You and I are commanded to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves. Do you love the God who gave you life? Do you realize where your life came from? Do you realize where your eyes came from, your mind, your ears, your taste buds? Isn't it true God has lavished His goodness upon you? You have eyes to see this creation of God's. You have ears to hear good music. You have taste buds to enjoy good food. God has lavished His goodness upon this land. You're not in Africa lying in the dirt with flies crawling across your face. God has blessed you. Do you love Him because of that? Are you thankful to Him? Before you say, "Yes, I am. I believe in God and I love God. I'm thankful to Him." Ever used His name as a cuss word? Ever taken His name in vain? That's called blasphemy. Will you substitute the name of the God who gave you life for a four-letter filth word to express disgust? And the Bible says the law will not hold him guiltless who takes His name in vain. And the fact that you used His name in vain shows you do not love God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You couldn't care less about Him. What you've probably done is transgress the second of the Ten Commandments, which says you should not make yourself a graven image. You love your image of God. You're like me. For 22 years before I was a Christian, I had a God in my image. I prayed to a God of my own creation, a God that didn't create hell, a God that wasn't just and holy and righteous, a God who was a figment of my imagination, the place of imagery. And then I bowed down to the non-existent God that I'd created, and I felt comfortable snuggling up to Him. And yet there is one God, and He's perfect and holy and righteous. And the Bible says He'll by no means clear the guilty. You go through those commandments, like the sixth commandment, you shall not kill. But the Bible says if you hate someone, you're a murderer. Jesus said if we get anger without cause, we're in danger of judgment. Seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. But listen to what Jesus said of that commandment. He said, but I say to you, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already within his heart. That leaves every guy guilty. Plenty of women guilty. Are you as much as lust, you commit adultery in God's eyes. Ever stolen something irrespective of its value? Ever lied? If you say, yeah, I've done that, then you're a lying thief. And the judgment by the law is death and damnation, eternal hell. All liars will have their part in the lake of fire. The Bible makes that very clear. Can you see the serious nature of your crimes against God? Can you see that you haven't got anything to bargain with him? When you stand before him on judgment day, you're not going to say, God, you have to let me live because I'm good. You've got no goodness to bargain with. The Bible says our righteous deeds are as filthy rags in his sight. We're criminals. All we can do is fling ourselves upon the mercy of the judge and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Bible says God is rich in mercy to all that call upon him. And the reason God can show you mercy is because he paid your fine 2,000 years ago. God became a perfect human being in Jesus Christ. And this perfect man gave his life as a sacrifice for the sin of the world. He paid the fine in his life's blood. He was bruised for our iniquities. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then he rose from the dead on the third day after he suffered for our sins, defeating the grave. And all who repent and trust in him receive remission of sins. God dismisses their case. He allows us to live because of what Jesus did on the cross. Folks, do you understand that? Because multitudes are going to stand before God with all those crimes against him and say, God, I'm basically a good person. It's such a deception. That's why the Bible says the gift of God, the free gift of God, is eternal life. You cannot earn a gift. So today, please come to your senses. Cry out, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Willfully put your trust in Jesus Christ as you trust a parachute to save you. Exercise biblical repentance. That's more than just saying, God, I'm sorry. It means, God, I'm sorry, and I'll never do it again. That's the attitude of true repentance. You say, I can't do that. You mean to say I have to not lust anymore? Oh, yeah. You don't want to run around as a hypocrite. It means if your eye causes you to sin, you as much as pluck it out and cast it from you. That's how serious sin is.
There are siblings in...
Better you be blind and end up in heaven than have your eyesight and lust and end up in hell. Jesus said that. Please do it today. Ask God to forgive you. Trust in Jesus Christ. Do it today because you may not be here tomorrow. Every single day, 150,000 people die. They pass from time into eternity. And today, you and I could die. Now, of course, we don't believe that, but you can guarantee the people, the 150,000 people that died yesterday, didn't believe it either. So please, get right with God.